It's Saturday, January 27, 2007, 10 a.m. on the Central Coast of California. Today on Geek Speak, our Week in Geek News segment, followed by a conversation with the author of The Naked Desk. It's all about getting your work life organized.
Geek Speak is a production of KUSP, Central Coast Public Radio, kusp.org. The bandwidth for geekspeak.org is provided by GNI, gnihosting.com.
It's time now for Geek Speak. Welcome to Geek Speak, bridging the gaps between geeks and the rest of humanity. I'm your host, Lyle Troxell. Please keep in mind the views expressed on Geek Speak are not necessarily those of KUSP. On today's show, we speak with Sue Brenner, a performance coach and author of The Naked Desk, everything you need to strip away clutter, save time, and get things done. During the second half of the show, I'll welcome you to join our conversation. The phone numbers are 476-2800, toll-free at 1-800-655-5877. I'll get that contact information again when I invite your participation in about a half an hour. GeekSpeak is supported by Cruise.io Internet, offering DSL broadband, computer rentals, and tune-ups. Cruise.io has retail stores in downtown Santa Cruz and Watsonville. More information can be found online at cruise.io.com or by calling 459-6301. This is Geek Speak. My name is Lyle Troxell. In the air with me are geeks Sean Cleveland, Technical Marketing Manager at NVIDIA, Miles Elam, Technical Trainer at Surf Control. And before we get into our news, get into our conversation about time management and organization skills with Sue Brenner, let's do the Week in Geek News. Miles, I'd like to start with you this morning.
Start off with some security news. There's a free Wi-Fi scam in the wild. This is seen at several U.S. airports, where people are being offered free Wi-Fi if you join in. It's a computer-to-computer ad hoc network. In other words, often when you go to a public place, such as an airport, you open up your laptop and it'll have a list of wireless providers. For example, it'll be like a T-Mobile will be there, or a Singular, or something like that. And there will also be computer-to-computer, or also known as ad hoc networks, available. If you connect to the ad hoc, they may present information that looks like an official internet provider, but in fact, what they're trying to do is get your personal information and to scam you, in addition to possibly putting malicious material onto your laptop. Now, that said, this goes along with another stat that I saw, which was very sobering. Vint Cerf, who is credited with by many as being one of the fathers of the internet, has stated that the number of botnets online is larger than originally believed and can be as high as 1 in 4 computers today.
Wait, how is that related to your first little story?
Because the first one is the way that people can get into your system is that you have to leave some way, some opening. And sometimes it's just through a technological hole. In other words, it's
this one's more of a phishing thing where it's kind of like, right, we want to give you free Wi-Fi, and now that you're doing that, we're using your machine as a bot.
Right. Okay. So only can you put in your personal information and have identity theft, but you could also leave your machine open to malicious attack. And that's actually a way that many people will do that, is that they'll download a program that they don't know is malicious, because it's saying to do some really cool thing or be a cool game or something.
Certainly.
Like that.
Okay. Now, this free wireless thing, how are people getting advertised to this? I mean, how are they getting notified of this?
Like I said, when you're going to an airport, you have a list of Wi-Fi providers. And you may go to, like, the T-Mobile one, and it says, okay, now you need to pay this money. And you go, let me try another one and see if there's a free one. I have done this many times when traveling in an airport. And you'll see a list of ad hoc ones. And in general, just because I know as a computer geek what an ad hoc network is, I've never connected to them, because that's connecting up to someone else's laptop in an airport. And However, that's not going to be the case for the vast majority of people that are out there using their laptop in an airport.
Right. So the ad hoc network, if you're in there, you connect to it, and then all the web page says you need to do this and that and install this, and you get free wireless, and then boom, you're infected.
In the past, I had wireless problems with my laptop, and Lyle has been gracious enough many times to provide me internet access through his laptop.
Yes, we've had network cables strewn across the air room, actually.
Right. So it may be possible for someone to do an ad hoc network and someone else has a network cable in.
Sure,
or a
and actually have internet
device.
Access.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there is a legitimate need for people to say, oh, hey, I want to try to connect to that. Maybe I'll be able to get to the internet through there. But avoid ad hoc networks when you're in a public place.
How many machines, then, are connected, are infected, if you will, are being zombies?
By this attack or just in general?
In general.
In general, it's now estimated, at least by one particular notable person, Vint Cerf, 150 million infected PCs.
Man, that's a lot of processing power.
Or coming out to about 25% of all machines that are out there have some form of software that allows them to be part of a botnet. And the botnets being the things that send
spam.
It's
not just the fact that these people are taking over your machines. I'm talking to Alex on Instant Message. He says the scam approach could be used as a good way of stealing credit card information.
Sure, sure.
I mean, once they have access to your machine.
Once a bot's in your machine, everything you do is somebody else's data as well. And I'm assuming that most
of these
bot networks
would
want
to
collect.
When he was saying like stealing information, that's just you go to a site and say, hey, we're going to offer you free Wi-Fi on an ad hoc network. And it says, put in your name, put in your social security number, put in your credit card number. All that information, so we will give you access for the next 24 hours, just like any other provider might. You put that information in, and let's say the person gets five of those in a five-minute period of time or a 10-minute period of time.
And then leaves the airport.
And leaves the airport. There's no way to find them again.
Right, right.
You've just lost that information. You don't have internet access, and you wonder, like, huh, I wonder what happened.
And if the guy's really clever, they respond with a message, sorry, our service is currently down. We appreciate it, and blah, blah, blah. So the person thinks nothing of it. All right, we're going to go to the next story. Sean?
Ford has announced their high series drive. It's the Ford Edge.
Wait, is this a car or hard drive?
It's a car.
Okay.
So we're talking about hybrid vehicles. Ford is jumping into the mix. The Ford Edge currently is, I guess it's a hybrid hydrogen with lithium ion batteries. This next generation, they're calling a CUV, crossover utility vehicle. Looks like a SUV, but it has hybrid capabilities. Kind of silly. It's kind of interesting because it has a flexible vehicle architecture. It's like software, you know. It's
right.
Wait, I'm sorry. Like flexible vehicle architecture. I'm imagining this rubber SUV going down the
right,
street.
I love
it's like,
it. Rrr,
it's like a little piece of jello.
Well, they introduce
the
new terms, you know.
For those with skeleton structures that are
according to Ford,
valuable.
The flexible vehicle architecture is a way of making a different car for different areas of the world. So they could you could just gasoline engine maybe in the U.S. and pair it with a battery pack and electrical motor. In Europe, they can use a diesel engine.
And then anywhere that finally gets hydrogen can use a hydrogen.
Can use the hydrogen, yeah. So I guess it's a flexible architecture. Interesting. These things are supposed to get 41 miles per gallon, but they only have about a 200-mile range.
Is it an SUV-sized vehicle with 41 miles
yes.
per gallon? Wow, that's really impressive.
Yes. Within 50 miles, though, you're only running on the battery.
Uh-huh.
So you're getting more like 80 miles per gallon. But it is a plug-in. They call it you top it off by plugging it in. I'm not sold on this plugging in because, frankly, I just think I don't need a higher electric bill.
Dude,
from my vehicle getting charged.
But come on, electricity is so much cheaper than gasoline or diesel.
Is it?
Oh, yeah. The rates for miles per gallon, if you will, are much lower if you have a plug-in vehicle.
That's why you're plugging in at night when the load isn't as high.
Yeah. I'd like to see actual real numbers from somebody who's plugged in their car and how it affects their bill.
Okay.
Isn't that kind of a chicken and the egg thing? They're not available yet, so you can't get the
stats. How much power are we talking about? Yeah.
I don't know.
See? I've never seen a breakdown, a real breakdown of how that would work.
Okay, well, I'll get you a breakdown next time I run.
But it is kind of cool. You could go to Fry's, you know, spend a couple hours and use their electricity because they always have plug-ins in front of their store.
You mean find any place that has a plug-in and just
not?
Use that? That's perfect. Then you're not paying for it yourself at all. You charge it at work.
But at least they're moving in the right direction. You know, American car manufacturers are actually jumping on the green bandwagon. It's kind of cool.
So last night... You know, every week we say you can go to geekspeak.org. Well, you can't go to geekspeak.org unless you're listening to the podcast. And if you're listening to the podcast, the site's back up. But right now, live, the site's down because computers are difficult. And so last night, I get a ride from Miles. Miles and I shoot over the hill in his Prius, which is, what year is that?
2001.
2001 Prius. And I'm sitting in the car. I remember the first time I got in, I said, this is the future of vehicles. So I kind of have that experience with Miles. Of course, the clutter doesn't help that perspective on the future. But no offense.
Wasn't that bad.
So then we get over the hill, and then we all jump in your Prius, Sean. And yours is a 2006?
No, five. No, it's 2004.
2004. Wow. Well, it seems really nice and beautiful and everything. And I was recently, because I got in a car accident, was shopping for cars. And when I was going through the lots, the non-Toyota lots, the salesmen were downplaying the Prius. I'm like, oh, it gets only like 30 miles to the gallon in actual blah, blah, blah. I'm like, really? That didn't seem right. But I'm not going filter, you know, person lying to me to sell something versus factual information. So I kind of took that in as read. So I'm asking you guys last night, your gas mileage, what is your gas mileage on your Priuses? Actually driving.
I switched to the screen and I saw it. It was 37.5 at the time.
And miles, what's yours? 39.
Right now it's reading somewhere between 39.
But you gotta understand, I'm going over Bear Creek Road every day, so I'm going up a mountain, down a mountain, up a mountain, down a mountain.
Right.
So my mileage isn't that great. But if I were to just stick in a city,
and it's also wintertime. I've found that in the wintertime I get worse gas mileage. When it's the spring or summertime, I'm jumping up into like 45 zone.
It's because you're more casual. You're not as stressed out. And you're not using much gas. All right. Thank you guys for the geek news. You're listening to Geek Speak. My name is Lyle Troxell. With me in the airmans, that's Miles and Sean. That was the geek news. Sue Brenner is a professional certified coach and project management professional with over a decade of experience coaching professionals and helping them overcome obstacles. She helps professionals change careers, get a promotion, gain a work-life balance. Sean needs that a lot. She's condensed some of common themes into a new book, The Naked Desk, Everything You Need to Strip Away Clutter, Save Time, and Get Things Done. You can get this book on Amazon. You can also get it at thenakeddesk.com. Nakeddesk.com. Sue Brenner, welcome to Geek Speak.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone.
It's so uncommon for us to have a female voice in the air room that I left your mic on, so we had all that humor with a voice in there, and I didn't even tell anybody who it was. So thank you for the laughter. We appreciate it. So, Sue, we actually go back from thespian days, both being theater people, and that's where we first met.
Yeah, Lyle and I starred in a mountain community production called Love on the Loathsome Stage, and Lyle starred as Eddie Knickerbocker, I believe?
Able-bodied seaman Eddie Knickerbocker,
yes,
actually.
Yes, mm-hmm. Okay.
Actually, years later, Miles was in a piece, a remake of the piece.
But, oh, really?
But that has nothing to do with our topic at hand.
Not at all. Little known facts about Lyle.
So your book is basically you gave a synopsis of it.
Okay.
Since you're the author and you know a bit about it.
Sounds good. How this book evolved is over this past 10 years of working with CEOs, engineers, programmers, entrepreneurs, what has come up as a common theme is that there tends to be some common things that people need to get out of the way, such as getting organized, procrastination, learning how to manage time. Those are very, very common at every level of an organization.
And those are almost like first steps in a lot of the other things you do. Like, you can't really think about necessarily long-time goals and stuff if you don't have enough space in your life to do that. And if you've got a cluttered life, you don't have space.
Correct. I mean, even if you want to do something as simple as exercising, you have to create the time and space in order to do that. So this is about clearing away what is less effective in your life and making room for you to really thrive and get the most out of your work and your life.
I think a lot of geeks have this problem. We collect things, we say yes to everybody's requests, and we have an environment that has a lot of stuff in it.
Yeah.
So you start out, like, your chapter one is organize your office. It's like, okay, you know what? You can't do anything without a clean space. And it makes sense. It's kind of like what we recommend on reinstalling operating systems. You know, getting the machine clear, knowing that it's stable. Your environment of where you work, having a messy environment will make your life messy.
As long as you have a clear path to your computer. I speak from experience?
Can you function, Sean, in a cluttered office?
Yeah, especially with the lights out.
You don't even notice it.
I don't notice anything around me. I just look at the screen and there I am, you know.
Great image of just junk everywhere in the dark background, your eyes bleeding on the screen.
I think what people will notice, even if they don't really want to organize, is if they do, even just a little bit, it will increase their motivation and productivity. Now, organizing is not for the faint of heart. It's not for everybody, but there are people out there who love to do it, who can come in and help you. So
you're saying if you've got some money, you can actually just hire someone else to come in and organize for you?
Yeah, you certainly can. And an idea I had for you guys, since
I've seen those shows. They take everything onto the lawn.
They clear it out.
They film it all and make fun of you.
All of it.
Yeah, what about for geeks?
Well, for the saying no piece, here's an idea I came up with for you guys, and that is, you know, if people repeatedly are asking you to fix their computer problems or design a web page website for them on your off hours, how about doing a trade? Sure, I'd love to. Could you give me the same in organizing my office? Could you help me get my folders together? So my recommendation to you all is to make it a win-win rather than a lose-win, meaning you lose by being resentful and giving up your time and your free time, but, you know, have them give something back that they're great at. Maybe they're good at cleaning.
Yeah, you know, Lyle and I were just talking about that this morning, about feeling guilty because you promise something and you don't come through
reason
or another. And we were saying, just say no. But that's difficult for geeks to just say no.
But that's a good idea, saying, you know, if you want to talk to your doctor about the pain in your leg, you make an appointment and you pay them. But for the geeks, it's like, I mean, I used to do, yeah, I'd love to answer your question, no problem, call on Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock. You know, that's the hour of the week that I volunteer my time to help everybody on coast of California. But it's, you know, that's normally a laugh joke. And then
it's more than
seriously.
An hour. I mean, there's just a lot of
I spent all week doing it.
But into this, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. So you're suggesting, just declare it right off the bat. You know, I need help on this. I'm moving a panel next week, and I need you to be there for 3 hours. And if you can do that, I'd be happy to help you, blah, blah.
Yeah, and of course, sometimes you're going to say yes and give your time to your sister or a friend. But, you know, try to make it more of a fair trade, because you'll notice that hairdressers aren't spending their full weekends and evenings and wee hours cutting people's hair. You know, they have limits, too.
You know, one of the things that the perspective I always have on this is, someone asked me, oh, I want to be able to have a website where I can put up information about this nonprofit organization. I'm like, okay. So you need a website that's easy to edit. Well, to actually get that, it's quite difficult for someone else to do it. For me, it's 2 hours of work. I know how to do it. It's not a problem for me. So I perceive, okay, there's a large amount of money invested for these people to do this, to hire somebody to do my skill set, or they aren't able to do it, or I do it. And so I always feel like I'm taking money from them if I don't offer my time, which is ridiculous, of course, because it's my time as well. So it's the perspective has to change. You have to change. And that's the difficult part, I think.
I think that's a really good point. One of the things you have to do is accept that you can't do it all. I know you care about people. You like helping people, as we all do. But you cannot do it all. So if you do take on something, it might mean taking something else off of your plate. One of the things I do recommend is decide every week what is your allotment of free, quote-unquote, donation time. Is it 30 minutes? Is it an hour? Is it 5 or 10 hours? But know what that is, so then when you get hit up by 10 or 20 people, can you volunteer to do this? Can you redesign this web page? You can say, you know what? I've already reached my 5 hours this week of volunteer time. Catch me another time.
Yeah. I like
that. It's very clear. It's not personal. It's not, I don't like you, so I'm not going to help you with your website.
Right.
It's predetermined. It will give you a much better handle, because the truth is, if you are spending 10, 20 hours helping someone with their crash server at 2 a.m., that's going to affect your job, your family, your home life.
All right. Well, that was our crash server that you were referring to, so we had to do that one.
Oh, but yes.
I totally agree. I like, actually, about doing being too busy, you in your, I don't know what chapter this is, on page 76, being the too crazy person, the idea that you're kind of procrastinating because you're just too busy, you can't do it. Bill Cosby has a great little quote in here. I don't know the key to success, but the key to failure is trying to please everybody.
Yeah.
That's definitely a problem I've got. What else do you recommend? Another idea for seed for discussion.
Well, I think for the too crazy busy piece, a great tip for people that say, yeah, sure, no problem, I'll do it, which is part of the too crazy busy trap, is take the 24-hour pause. If you are compulsively saying, yes, sure, give yourself 24 hours to answer. Say, you know what? I need to think about it. I'll get back to you tomorrow, same time.
Okay. I'm in a about a week ago, I had a meeting, and there was a large request from me for problem solving, and it's for the station. It's a radio station, right? So I got this whole family invested in this radio station.
Yes.
Very attached to KOSP. And so I get requested for basically fixing the process of getting stuff online. And I said, I'll tell you tomorrow. I'm going to talk to the geeks and I'll tell you tomorrow.
All
and
right.
It's been a week. So I haven't gotten back to it because I don't want to tell them no, which is what, unfortunately, I'm going to have to do because I just don't have the time. So then the procrastination jumps in. I think one of the reasons, and I know that one of the geeks suggested, look, we talk a little bit about procrastination, that you don't really want, you know, maybe the what's going to happen. Like in this state, I know the answer. I don't want to give them the answer, so I'm holding off giving the answer. And there's a lot of reasons for that, but you talk a bit about procrastination. In fact, procrastination is such a big thing, I think. You devote 3 chapters to solving procrastination.
I do, because it's such a huge dilemma in so many people's lives. The heart of procrastination starts with fear. Fear of failure, fear of success, fear of finishing. So you have this fear that you're going to get this reaction when you tell them no. So in a case like that, Lyle, I would say enter the danger. Face
improv
it head
term.
On. Yeah, improv term. Face it head on and say, you know, and I wouldn't talk too much about it. I wouldn't give too huge of a dialogue about why or why not. Just say, no, I'm really not available. I don't have the time to dedicate to this. Period.
So who will?
Yeah, good question. Have a resource available.
So let me do this. If you know how to code web pages and CGI and know a little bit about encoding stuff or want to learn those things, the station is always in need of people to do those skill sets. You can come meet the geeks. We'll do a little interview with you. If you maybe got a contracting business, we can kind of talk about your business, and you could help the station out. If you've got some free time, we'd love it. You could call during business hours, 476-2800, toll free at 1-800-655-5877. And of course, I'm going to invite you now to call in. We'll take questions. We're going to stay on topic today. We're going to talk about your organization dilemmas, the way you manage your life, kind of the meta of id. And you're welcome to call in and ask us anything you'd like regarding those topics. Rick Philman standing by. Geek Speak is supported by Henry J. Ramirez, DDS in Santa Cruz, specializing in cosmetic and family dentistry, using digital technology for less radiation, offering one appointment crowns and veneers. For appointments and more information, 423-2447. You're listening to Geek Speak. We are now taking your calls and questions and comments of technology, but about your life as an organization problem, if you will. So making your life better. The book we're talking about today is The Naked Desk by Sue Brenner. It's available on Amazon.com. It's also available via an e-form at nakeddesk.com. So nakeddesk.com. We don't have our website today, so please don't waste your time there. GeekSpeak is supported by Business with Pleasure, a full-service business center in Scotts Valley, offering computer rentals, printing, design, shipping, delivered office supplies, notary public, and more. Information is online at businesswithpleasure.com. This is Central Coast Public Radio, KSP. You're listening to GeekSpeak. My name's Lyle Troxell. Miles Elam is here. Sean Cleveland is here. And we're speaking with Sue Brenner. And Miles, I think you have actually something to say.
Sunday morning on This American Life on KUSP, My Brilliant Plan. An American reporter in Baghdad decides to rent a house in a residential neighborhood rather than live in a hotel and be an easy target for insurgents. And an 11-year-old boy figures out an ingenious way to see his dead father again. Great ideas gone amok. This American Life, Sunday morning at 10 a.m. on Central Coast Public Radio, KUSP.
You're listening to KUSP. We're taking your calls with questions and comments about organizing your life, getting yourself organized, being more, how do you summarize these topics? It's not exactly just organization,
it's being more effective at work and at home. It's really about clearing out what you don't need so that you can thrive and be your best, access your potential, and really use that. A couple of questions to
follow. Let me throw the phone numbers out again so we can invite people in. 476-2800. Rick Philman standing by to take your calls. Again, 476-2800. We'd love an antidote, a problem, get kind of ideas of what Sue would be doing with her clients in a professional management sense. Please do call in with questions. 476-2800 or 1-800-655-KUSP. 1-800-655-KUSP.
Yeah, I was going to add on 4 questions that you can ask if you are too crazy busy. And these are questions to ask of yourself. First question is, do I have the time? Second question, do I want to do it? Is this something I want to do, even if it is to help someone else? Do I have enough time to do a quality job?
Something you'd be
really
proud
pull
of.
It off? Yeah, because you don't want to do something half-baked. And do I have to remove something else from my plate in order to do that?
And that kind of has to do with how much time you have.
Yeah, and being realistic about it rather than staying up all night, every night in order to please everybody else in your life while you burn out.
Sure. And I take it you're pretty close to a geek that has this problem.
I have a geek that lives with me by the name of Doran, and he's my husband. He's kind of half geek. And he used to take on a lot of outside projects for other people. And he has curved back on that somewhat, and he does refer people out. In fact, for my website redesigns, I said to him, you know what, look, why don't I just hire somebody to do this because you don't have time? And he said, yeah, I recommend Illuminata in Santa Cruz. So,
And I guess you do too. You just did.
I do too. I do like his work. He's done work for Surf City and other places around town. And I'm fine with that because then I can actually get the updates when I need them right away.
And you don't have to have a spousal guilt thing going on to make it work.
I don't have to wait for his procrastination to cease.
Well, I guess we got calls coming in, but I'm not paying attention to the AIM. All right, well, still waiting on them. Actually, you know what? I'm blind here in Yahoo Instant Messenger, so Miles, you want to...
Line one, Vicky, procrastinations.
Thank you very much. Vicky, welcome to GeekSpeak.
Hello?
Hello, where are you calling from, Vicky?
Santa Cruz.
Okay, what's your question?
Well, I was just wondering what... the author's name again?
Oh, Sue Brenner.
Sue, yeah. What her take was on, I don't know, her approach to organizing sort of conceptually, what needs to be done. Because last year about this time, by the way, I'm sitting here with all my files on the floor, reorganizing my files.
All right, perfect timing.
And last year about this time, I read Getting Things Done, which is another sort of geeky kind of organizational book. And he recommends writing down all the projects in your life, like everything you're involved in. And I did that, and I got so overwhelmed that I just totally just didn't want to deal, and I had the worst bout of procrastination I've ever had, which has never really been a problem for me.
You know, this same kind of thing has happened to me. I didn't read his book. I listened to a podcast, 43 Folders, who talks a lot about getting things done, the GDK method, and I do that same thing of capturing everything possible, and yeah, sure enough, your to-do list gets huge.
Yeah, so one of the tips I recommend, I do think that is a good strategy to really look at what you do, what you are currently doing, and what your projects are. Have a trusted friend or colleague there with you who can help sift through it, because you're going to be overwhelmed. But to them, it's usually neutral. Like, oh, okay, you got a lot going on. So what do we need to do? What projects do you need to delegate? What do you need to take on and get done?
Use a friend as a free life coach, kind of like a therapist.
Yeah, use the buddy system so that you can have some support and you can be lifted through your overwhelm. Because what you don't want to do is cram it into a drawer and then never look at it again.
So what you're saying is Vicky's step of capturing everything, great, but she should use a friend to filter out and say, you know what, this is not important, kind of help talk about that list?
Yeah, it's kind of like having someone over to look at your closet. They can easily say, oh, that's from the 80s. That doesn't work for you. Get rid of those shoes. Whereas you might be hanging on to those things. But getting an outside objective point of view, of course, it's just their opinion, can help you sift through that, because the whole point of doing that, capturing all your projects, is to take to the next level and say, what do I need to get done? What do I need to outsource?
Vicky, does that make sense to you?
I wouldn't want to be that person that I
that you dump
that
all this
I choose, because I would just argue with them that everything is important. I can't let anything go. Uh-huh.
Okay, so here's the tip, Vicky. You yourself have to be coachable. If you want to move through this, you have to be able to receive their input and not be defensive about it. So you get to choose whether you delegate a project or not, but you have to at least be open to their ideas.
But I feel like, you know, I am a pretty organized person. I was pretty organized before that, you know, just doing my four grid thing from, you know, the seven habits or whatever. Mm-hmm. But just somehow that experience of looking at everything paralyzed me, and I'm just, I don't know, I kind of am apprehensive about trying to do anything like that again.
So maybe you can take one-fourth of your huge list, look at one tiny corner. It's like instead of looking at the entire desk and all the papers overflowing, look at one small piece first and see what you can do with that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Good luck, Nikki. Vicky,
thank you for the call.
Thanks. Okay. Bye.
Yeah, I did have that same kind of problem of capturing everything. But the thing is, when you do capture all the stuff on your list, you start thinking about what you decide to do and what you don't decide to do. And that itself is a very revealing. Like, I've got large projects that I'm excited about that are on my list, but I never do them. So I've moved them off to a maybe do in the future thing that does sit in a drawer somewhere.
Yeah.
So that I don't lose that idea, but I'm not putting it in my list of things to do all the time.
Right.
And there's a bit of that you need to do as well. All right. From Felton, same place I live. Anne, welcome to Geek Speak.
Hi.
Hi. What's your question today?
It was actually kind of related to Vicky's, but I guess it, I could ask it by asking a question. Do you guys ever have those days where procrastination is absolutely not an issue? You write your list, you're like, okay, I'm getting everything done. You have a powerful, productive day. And then possibly the next day, there's sort of that letdown. And I'm wondering, Sue, if you have any tips for sort of, I don't know, evening out that kind of motivation, because it seems, in, at least in my life, that I have those days where procrastination is not an issue, and then those days where I feel very much like Vicky, and I'm just like overwhelmed.
Yeah, I do have some tips on that. So you have a surge of excitement, you're motivated, it's New Year's Day, you want to clear things out and get organized once and for all. So I think that's good to follow that instinct and go with that. And you know, it's kind of like working out, though. You don't want to lift 300 pounds after not having worked out in 3 years.
Right.
You do want to pace yourself. And here's a tip that I have used and seen used in corporations across America, and that is, if you have to do something then that's not so pleasant, like you're in a sales role, you're a real estate agent, and you have to call people up and see if they want to sell or buy a home, what you do is don't rely on your mood.
Mm-hmm.
So do it anyway. If you have set aside 1 hour a day this week to organize and get things together, stick to that no matter what.
Mm-hmm. And what's the idea behind that?
The idea is you can't count on your mood to be motivated. There'll be some days when you wake up and say, no, I don't want to. I don't feel like going to the gym. I don't feel like doing the writing code for this project I'm working on. So you can't count on yourself to feel like it. If you're committed, then the motivation will come from starting the project. So get started and you will find the motivation there, but don't wait around for this sudden whim to get really excited about it. And pace yourself too. So maybe instead of overachieving that first day, underachieve a little bit, but consistently over a 1 or 2 week period to get things together.
So your tip then for kind of getting out of the rut of those days where it's just maybe a little more overwhelming is to do, I guess, the best you can or whatever you can do, or stick to an agenda, or...
The idea here is to block out some time when you are going to work on it, and you're going to work on it no matter what. And if you can't seem to force yourself to do that, tell yourself, okay, I'm going to work on this organization project for 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that's just enough to motivate you to keep going, because then suddenly you think, oh, okay, it's not that hard. I can do this.
Okay, cool. Thank you. I really appreciate those tips.
Thank you very much for the call.
Anne.
We are taking questions and comments today about getting yourself organized and methods for thinking about your own mess in your life, if you will, and how to clear that up. The phone numbers are 476-2800. Again, 476-2800. Toll free at 1-800-655-5877. And this is Geek Speak, though this doesn't sound exactly a geeky topic like we normally talk about, you know, hard drives and such. It is actually something that I think all of us struggle with, probably in every profession, that kind of organization skills. And one of the things that happens to me as a geek is I find all these really cool tools to help me, and I play with all of them. And now I end up spreading my organization stuff into a whole bunch of different tools. None of them do exactly what I want, so I use lots of them. Then I forget about one, and I'm losing track of tasks, and how do you deal with that problem?
Yeah, I was just talking with someone about that yesterday. And the secret there is to pick one tool and to use it. So what I use is a smartphone, which syncs with Exchange Server. So anytime I get an email, it shows up on my cell phone. My contacts, any calendar event that I schedule in, it will be on my desktop in Outlook and on my phone. You never want to use more than one system because you'll forget about things. And it just has people kind of fall apart and miss appointments. So
now, I know a lot of people that, and myself do this as well, use their email as their task management. Like they'll send themselves a to-do item in email and then they'll just use that. People do this for their phone systems too. They'll call their phone at the office and leave a message for themselves. What do you think about that, those simple kinds of ways of doing it?
I think to use what works for you. If that works for you, go for it. There's no hard rule about how to do it. What I do is I would actually schedule something in my calendar to make a follow-up phone call or to call for a meeting with somebody. But if those techniques are working for you, sending yourself an email or calling yourself, great. You want to do just enough organization to get the job done, to get you in an efficient, effective mode.
Since we're normally, when you talk about this kind of management, like you use the system you use, but since we're geek speak, let's talk a little bit about email. I started using my email as my task management. My life gets too crazy. I never get back to it. And so my inbox has 1,200 unread messages in it. And I mark unread as meaning I have to deal with it at some point. And Sean's paradigm for checking, for dealing with email, what I used to do is I'd have all these folder directories, and I'd put everything in specific folders that had relation to the show. So, like, I'm on press junkets all over the place about technology. So a book comes out from O'Reilly. I get, you know, a couple messages about it, you know, come interview the guest, whatever. And I take those messages, and I put them in a folder called GeekSpeak Promotional or GeekSpeak Leads, whatever, so that maybe later I'll set up a show. And the management process, the time of putting them all in those folders, is a mess. And I found that it doesn't actually help me get the data back, because I still want to know about a specific book. I know the title of the book, or I know the topic, and I'm going to do a find in my email client to get it. So why did I spend all the time categorizing it? And I felt kind of realized that because Sean at one point said, I just have folder for every year. Everything goes in a folder for a year. Is that how you're doing it, Sean, still?
Yep.
And does that work for you?
Yeah. When I need to do something, I write it down.
Yeah, so you don't use
I
your emails.
Check it off.
Yeah.
And I answer emails as quickly as I can. The important ones.
So you don't. So even though the message might have cued your to-do, if you will, you actually put the to-do on something else and you write it down.
Yeah.
And then later, when you're doing that to-do item, you can find it in your email by just doing a search.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you know, electronic to-dos just don't work for me.
Really? Why? Because it's not the same. It's not everywhere you go. Or?
And, you know, I have a Palm Treo, and I certainly, and I even have a BlackBerry. I guess I use it sometimes on my BlackBerry just through work. But I find writing things down just works for me. It's right on my desk, you know, I can focus on that, I can work towards getting that off the paper.
I have a stack of index cards that I sit in my back pocket, and all my to-do items and everything, all my notes in my life and everything is in this stack. And I don't use electronic means at all. I mean, you know, I have a show called Geek Speak, and I don't use electronic means for organizing myself. This works effectively very well because I can do it anytime I want. When I sit down for a second, I'm waiting for a bus, whatever, I can pull this thing out. I don't have to wait for someone to boot. And it's just a pad of paper.
For me, sorting email, I was getting myself in the corner. I'd feel, you know, you have to stay on top of it to make it work. And then I wasn't really using it. It was harder for me to find things because I remember what I sorted it under.
Yeah.
And that just drove me crazy.
Yeah,
so I just don't work with that
anymore. I do the yearly folders now. And the thing that I also did is I set up a shortcut in my email client that I control, do a key control, and the active message gets moved into that archive folder. So as messages come in, I get to move them out. Yeah. And I've been able to keep my task, my thing down low. Not zero, but low. And I've been wishing that I could keep my email to zero every day. That's like this kind of golden mantra, right? You know, everybody wants to do that. Unfortunately, I created that reality too well, and our server crashed. So my email is at zero. We're taking questions and comments about technology, but not really technology in the sense of specific tech, but more like how you manage your life, how do you manage the meta of your life. And I am speaking.
We should take a call, line one.
Okay, line one. We'll take line one. Hello, is this Daria from Felton?
Hi.
Hello.
Welcome, everybody.
Hi, Daria.
Hi, Daria.
Hi. I have a question for you, and that is, what do you do as a parent of young children to try and stay on top of, you know, all the tasks that you have to try and get done while you're also managing, you know, these young people?
I think that's a very good question. And being the mother of a 2.5-year-old, there is a certain amount of disorder that you just have to accept because, you know, your expectation that your child is going to put away everything is just not realistic at that stage. So you have to kind of be with a little bit more chaos than perhaps you'd like. Now, staying on task, getting things done, you know, one of the tips is to shorten your to-do list. Again, being with that, you just can't get to it all. I mean, what I do a lot is I delegate. I hire people to do the cleaning, to do errands, so that I am more freed up to focus on my business and to be with my daughter when my daughter's home, rather than running around like a crazed woman trying to clean things up. So
Daria, is that going to work in your life to just shorten your to-do list rather than trying to do everything?
Ha, ha, ha.
Ha, ha, ha.
I will attempt to shorten my to-do list.
Speaking of to-do list, Ari, the haircuts of the kids look great. I saw both this morning. Thank you so much for getting the
very
haircut
beautiful.
Yesterday.
Thanks.
So, Daria, just shorten it by maybe 20%. Shorten it just a little bit so that you are not stressed all the time. You don't want to create this pressure of never accomplishing anything. So shorten that. And here's a tip for you and for everybody. If you could only accomplish three things today, what would those three things be? Top priorities. And you go in and focus on those, because the truth is we whittle away lots of time doing things that are not important. Sometimes it's surfing the net. Or watching TV. So focus in on your top three priorities. That should free you up.
Great. That's a great suggestion. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks, sweetie. Talk to you later.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Love you. That's great. I don't think I've ever said love you to a caller.
In my work, everybody has to send a top five priority at the beginning of the week to everybody.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that functional?
Well, yeah. It makes you stay on. If you didn't finish your topics, people wonder why.
So,
that's great accountability.
If no one picked up on that, that was my wife, Daria, and Sean, Maggie called as well, your wife, and she says, bring a copy of the book home.
Weren't we talking a random listener?
No, that wasn't a random listener.
It's actually, you know what, I checked it out. It's on Amazon.com, and it's every review is received 5 stars.
Wow.
Two reviews.
Hooray.
But people liked it. Well, I'm flipping through it. It's got some really neat, some good ideas.
You know, if you haven't done time management stuff, if you haven't worked on this kind of stuff in your life, once you start thinking about it, it is a completely new experience. Because it's kind of like psychoanalyzing yourself to some degree, where if never gone to therapy before, going to therapy is this completely life-changing thing. And when life-changing is just time management, you start realizing it's a wonderful experience. I highly recommend starting to pick up some systems to manage.
I notice that when I exercise more, especially jog, that sort of thing, I tend to be on top of things more.
Yeah.
It kind of gives me a chance to just be with myself and think about what I got to do.
You know, and when you were speaking earlier, Sue, about just start the task, you know, make sure you do it, start the task. That's so true in a lot of things, like exercise is a perfect example. You know, I don't feel like running. Well, don't feel like running. Feel like getting yourself fast to a different location a block away, and then you're already started. Yeah. And once you're started, it just keeps going. But that's true. If I'm not, like, feeling like working on the Geekspeak website or whatever, I'll go take a walk with the kids. Like, not even a big thing. When I get back from that, I feel so much better that I'm more motivated, if you will. I know that that's not necessarily the best way to do it.
It's so hard because you want to sleep in, you know. It's like, it's more important. But actually, I think exercise is more important than sleep.
I think what that does.
Because you will catch up on sleep when it gets to be
right.
Your body makes that work, right?
Well, and what it does to you physiologically and chemically is great. I mean, you will be releasing some endorphins just by getting out there and moving. So I think that's excellent. If you're in a real slump, even taking a 10-minute walk can really change things around. So great, great input there, Sean.
We are taking questions and comments. The phone numbers are 476-2800. Again, 476-2800. Toll free at 1-800-655-5877. And we're open to calls about our topic today. So please stay on topic. Again, the phone numbers are 476-2800, toll-free at 1-800-655-5877. Now, Sean stole my book away because I've got notes all over it about what I was going to ask next, but I can just leave the floor open to you. Sue, you had some stuff prepared about what we had problems with. Procrastination was a really big one. Do you have another trick on, something's important in your life and you want to do it and you haven't even touched it yet? How do you decide whether you yank that from your list of to-do and just get rid of it and therefore solve it, or you actually start putting it in your priority list? How do you do that?
Well, I think you need to assess what is most important to you. If you don't do a certain project, is your job on the line? Is it going to annoy a key client? You have to see what the most important things are before you can answer that question. If it's something that, I'd like to get to one day, but I'm really not going to get to it for another 5 years, I would do what you do, Lyle, and that is deliberately put it on the back burner. Something I like to recommend for people with lots and lots and lots of ideas is create an idea box. If you want to create a new piece of software, or if you're building some new medical device and you have all these ideas for features of that product, throw those in the idea box, either electronically or physically in a box, so that you capture those. You feel like you're putting them somewhere, but you don't have to act on every single one of those now. It will drive yourself crazy and people around you. You know those people who have an idea every second and they're sending their team in a new direction every day?
Oh.
Can you relate?
Yeah. I hate that. I like focus.
You like focus? Tell me more about NVIDIA's idea of everybody takes the what they're going to focus on that week, the five lists, and sends it to everybody just on a local team. Is that a corporate mandate? What's the deal on that?
Yeah, it goes to a pretty large group. I mean, yeah.
Can you give me the team? Give me an idea of what your list was this last week of your five things. Is that okay, Sean? Do you mind?
I have to think about. It changes so much because I deal with the press.
Well, let's
so one of my priorities is always stay on top of press issues, which is almost impossible. But
one of your priorities is put out all fires and solve all problems.
Seriously, and I track bugs, you know. And
can you use that one issue as like three of your to do?
That should be all of mine. but you know, there might be specific benchmarking that needs to be done to validate a bug. I'll put that down. Let's say I need to put an initial reviewer's guide together for a new product coming out. You know, and start initial planning process. I mean, it's that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But as long as, you know, yeah, it's you hit those. You know, a lot of people actually, they'll put the tasks they completed from the week before. That's really upping the accountability.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
You know, because then they see, well, you sent these tasks. Did you finish them? Because these are whole new tasks.
It's interesting. If I was at work and asked to do that, I think I'd get into the situation where it actually ran in, Susie, in your book, kind of this idea that you can't make me do it, kind of that paradigm where someone tells you to do something. It's your boss. Of course they're your boss, you know, whatever. They're supposed to tell you what to do at work.
Yeah.
Right.
And yet it seems a little too personal. Like, send your priorities to the week. Well, you know, leave me alone. I'm an employee. I'm a professional. I know what I'm doing.
It's all a state of mind. Yeah. I don't feel that way at NVIDIA at all.
Yeah.
But there's a synergy there.
But the thing is,
everyone's just got this synergy going. They're really positive. You know, we're all working towards the same thing.
Yeah.
It's a very open environment. There are no offices. Everyone's got a cubicle. So it's kind of just an interesting way to work.
Sure.
And I like it because it keeps me motivated. People come in my cube all the time, you know. I was reading the couch potato section where you can actually spend hours surfing the net. Then you're not getting things done. Then you feel guilty and it feeds upon itself. How do you get out of that, you know?
Well, sure.
Accountability helps.
We have Simona calling from Watsonville, and you're going to attack me, Simona, aren't you? Go ahead. What's your question?
My question is, what's the title of the book?
That's my job, and I haven't been saying it enough. I'm so sorry.
No, that's really true, because those of us who are in our cars driving,
sure.
You know, just catching little bits of this, as I often do, I'm like, okay, what's the book? What's the book?
The book is The Naked Desk. Again, The Naked Desk.
I love it.
It's by Sue Brenner. It's available at her site, nakeddesk.com. How do you get nakeddesk.com? What a great title for a
book. Yeah, I was lucky. That was a fluke because my other site got hijacked, so I nabbed that one.
Wow.
Nakeddesk.com to learn more about the book. Of course, it's available on Amazon and it's available from her site as an ebook. If you don't want to wait at all, you just get it right away. So The Naked Desk by Sue Brenner, it's not like a huge book that's going to take a lot of time. It's like a manual to use to help yourself get organized so you can reference it as you're working. My copy has stickets all over it kind of noting things that I want to talk about and what I want to do in my life. So it's a great little handbook for that. Was there another question you had, Simona?
That was pretty much it. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for the call.
You know, Sue, I want to bring something up real quick. I've noticed there are people who just can't seem to get motivated until all the clutter is gone around them.
There are
people like me who I am kind of comfortable around clutter.
Yeah.
And it doesn't prohibit me from getting stuff done. So I'm talking about my wife.
Yeah, but
and
how
I.
does Maggie
my
feel
wife
about
is
it?
Not like, she does not like clutter. She likes things.
Yeah.
And then that's the starting. It's like a base for her to build off, to actually start doing things and getting things done.
Yeah, but have you ever cleared your space so it's clean? Doesn't it feel fantastic?
It doesn't stay clean very long.
Yeah, but there's
a lot of variables on this. I want to do a radio topic sometime about called organized versus anal. And here's my opinion, that clutter does not affect everybody negatively. They might actually appreciate a little clean surface, but, you know, clutter in itself is not a horrible, bad thing. It's just what impact does it have on you? Now, if it's creating marital difficulties, well, then that's a high impact. That's real. That's high impact. That is a challenge.
She's great. I mean, it's not creating difficulties.
I'm cutting your mic down. No,
I do feel guilty sometimes that she has to live amongst my clutter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so typically what I see in most couples is one person is more organized than the other. You know, I actually hired an organizer to come in and do a bunch of things around our offices in our home. And I said to my husband, Doran, I got this great organizer. She can come in and organize your office. He said, thanks very much, honey, but I'd like to be in charge of my office.
So I get that. Yeah,
I get that.
So, you know, I think there might be a middle ground, and both people have to give and take. Not one way is not better. It to me, it's always just doing just enough to stay organized and more effective and efficient. But what you don't want to do is spend your 8 hours a day reorganizing your office as a way to avoid your priority work. I've seen that happen too.
Yeah, I can imagine that.
So there is a balance.
There is something to say, though. Of course, if you got a messy, like, I don't mind clutter of like gear. And Sean, you and I have a lot of gear, and the clutter of gear to me doesn't problematic, but the clutter of paper, you know, the invoice that came in that stacks in the paper and then it gets piled on top and it's hard to find it.
Yeah.
It's actual physical. It'll damage a problem. Like, I had an invoice come in. I should have shipped it off to somebody else. I didn't. A week goes by. I get a phone call. Yeah. It's embarrassing. That kind of clutters.
Yeah. You know, what happens is my flat drawers end up getting piles of paper.
Yeah.
I do hate the paper.
I have a simple system that I created in my office that really works, and it's a two-tiered inbox, outbox kind of thing. And then the top tier, I have bills to pay. And then I also have action items, things that need to be handled, a client that needs to be called, insurance company that needs to be followed up on. And then the second tier, I put in everything that needs to be filed. And I delegate that to my assistant so that I don't even have to think about it. So once a week, she does the filing. So that actually works for me, because then I have a place for all the action items, so they're not strewn about.
See, Sean, we were talking last night, get an intern.
I need an assistant.
Yeah, intern.
Employees are amazing.
I was actually thinking a company that I had a while back ago, or rather that I worked for, did a product called Laserfiche. That's one where you get a little portable scanner, you get your papers, you scan them in, and then you can, you know, for example, for a lot of things, just toss the paper.
That's
and
great.
If you ever need it again, you just, it's OCR,
you
just
print it,
type it up again.
Brilliant.
And so there's a lot of them that do that.
Yeah.
That's great.
From Santa Cruz, Herrick, welcome to Geek Speak.
It's Eric.
But, Eric, okay.
I really enjoy this program, and a lot of things that your guests are saying hit home. But one thing that I've noticed in my life as I've gotten older and have more things going on, more responsibilities, and it's been harder to stay on top of things. I feel like when I was in school in my 20s, I was really well organized. And not that anything's changed with me, but my system wasn't able to cope with greater volume of both information and things. Because I was wondering if you've encountered that before.
Thank you, Eric, for the call. Susan, do you want to try to address that?
So I'm not clear on the question.
Just as you get older, your earlier ideas don't work as much because your life gets more cluttered.
Yeah. I mean, I think one of the key things there is to simplify, clear your stuff out often, under-promise so that your life does not get as complicated as it could be.
I'm kind of under-promising on that. I kind of cut off Eric because we're running out of time. But the book is The Naked Desk by Sue Brenner. You would like these ideas. You think it's going to help your life. The book's available at Amazon.com and her website, nakeddesk.com. GeekSpeak is supported by a grant from Santa Cruz Electronics, offering an extensive selection of computer and electronic parts as well as support services. Santa Cruz Electronics is open daily at 2808 Soquel Avenue and online at santacruzelectronics.com. The Geeks this morning, Sean, Cleveland, Miles, Elam. Our guest was Sue Brenner, author of Naked Desk. And answering the phone was Rick Filman. GeekSpeak is a registered service mark of Online Tonight with David Lawrence and is used by permission. Central Coast Public Radio, KOSP Santa Cruz, KBDH Santa Auto on the web at kosp.org.